Friday is the Muslim day of prayer, and for 2 months now, it's also been a day of protest. So on Fridays, we will get an update on the protests that continue across the Middle East and North Africa. Today, there have been protests in Jordan, where scores of people were injured as pro-reform demonstrators clashed with government supporters. And in Bahrain, the security forces fired tear gas at protests. In Yemen, President Ali Abdullah Saleh told tens of thousands of supporters that he's ready to step down, but only if he can leave the country in safe hands. Joining me now is Robert Powell, the Middle East analyst for the Economist Intelligence Unit, to give us an update on the Syrian government's response to the protest marches both last week and over the last 2 days. And I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Today's protests in Syria are being called a day of dignity and have included the funerals of 6 people who were shot during earlier protests. But we're hearing reports that shots were fired again at protesters in Daraa today. Do we have a sense of how many people are in the streets there?
It's very difficult because journalists have not been allowed in Daraa. They've been cut off. And for obvious reasons, the regime doesn't want these pictures being televised. And thus far, most of these revolutions have indeed been televised, particularly by Al Jazeera, of course. So details are small, but it's probably hundreds, maybe low thousands, not absolutely enormous. And Daraa itself is not a very big town. There's some actual connection with that fact and the fact that it's the center of the protests. In many ways, the regime has been very careful close off with security personnel any key sites around the capital and the major cities. But, of course, they couldn't watch every single town. And this is a relatively remote and an interesting location. And as such, they weren't watching. And this is where the protests, of course,
rather than
out.
In Damascus. Is there a reason for Daraa? The government responded, as we said, to protests last week with force, killing more than 30 demonstrators and injuring others. Yesterday, there were large protests there again. Did they shoot at them again?
Yeah, there have been some shootings and large-scale, of course, arrests. And this is, in some ways, this is how it began, with the arrest of some children who'd been writing slogans on the walls. Daraa itself is not necessarily a hotbed. It suffered economically because Syria's had a few years of drought, and this is an agrarian town. But in many ways, it could have happened anywhere.
Yesterday, a spokesperson for President Bashar al-Assad was at pains to emphasize that he's against the use of force. Why do you think President al-Assad is distancing himself from the actions of his own police?
Well, it's relatively sensible. You need a scapegoat. And so they're using the line, the mistakes were made. This was not policy. Naturally, they're trying to head off the unrest before it frankly gets out of control, as it obviously did in Egypt and is happening in Yemen. And Bashar himself, as the president, is generally seen as being relatively popular. So they need to, again, distance himself from any actions that are deemed to be a cause for unrest.
So is there some kind of a schism within the government? He said that he'll release all those who have been detained during the protest, although, as we said today, more shots are being fired. So are there rifts within his own government and between the military and the police?
There's a certain amount of factionalism that goes on in all these governments, but really it's run by a very narrow circle here. It's the Alawite group, who are kind of a religious minority within Syria, are actually ruling the country. And many of the key posts are actually kept within the family, which is something, again, we've seen everywhere. So, for instance, the head of the internal security forces is the husband of the president's sister. One of the key businessmen is a cousin of the president. So they tend to keep it within the family, which at least helps ensure a certain amount of dependence or a certain amount of reliability, anyway, among key officials. But I think it's something, you're right, that we have to watch closely. If people start splintering off, then it could weaken the regime.
Well, why is this an Alawite-dominated government? You said that it's a minority, and Syria is a religiously diverse country, but a very secular one, at least in theory, because that was part of the Ba'athist revolution in the first place, the same thing that we saw in Iraq. What about the country's Christians, who make up about 13% of the population? How are they responding to all of this?
Yeah, you have to kind of go way back for the kind of the religious mix. And this has not had any sectarian undertones yet. indeed, the Egypt practice, of course, had no sectarian undertones until later on. You saw some attacks on Christians. The Alawite situation, actually, you have to go quite a bit back. The French, generally, this was a former French colony, and they had various difficulties with various different groups, and they found the Alawites were the most dependable, so they generally put them in charge, and it seemed to remain that way until the present day, of course. So there is some kind of historical connection between what is actually quite a small minority and yet its overrepresentation in power.
Well, President al-Assad is said to be willing to consider lifting the state of emergency that has been in effect since 1963. I guess that was his father. There's been a promise of pay raises for state employees of up to 30%. Are we seeing a sort of stock set of concessions offered by these regimes when protests start to happen?
It's difficult to not be cynical. Syria is seriously authoritarian. There's no point in being mealy-mouthed about it. Even if they, let's say, they added a few of these reforms, I think Syria would reach the point where perhaps Egypt was before its revolution. It's got an even more tightly controlled political system than Egypt was. It's going to take a lot more than a few of these concessions. And at the moment, there's just talk. There's talk that they might consider lifting the state of emergency. That's a long way from actually lifting the state of emergency. There's talk of allowing more political parties, but the Constitution itself says that the Ba'ath Party, which is a ruling party, that will be the leading party in the country. So allowing more parties doesn't mean a lot of your Constitution says one of them's always going to be in charge. So at the moment, it doesn't look particularly substantial, but it at least shows that they don't have a completely cloth ear.
Well, it isn't all that different, at least in terms of repression, from what was happening in Libya, and we saw what happened there. But is it less likely to get to that in Syria? You suggested that President al-Assad enjoys a certain amount of popularity.
Certainly, it's always difficult to judge, but he's managed to keep himself to an extent separated from some of the excesses of his security forces, and that's, of course, what we're seeing now. All these countries are different in their own way, and it's very, you've got to be very careful, you know, making comparisons between countries. Syria is probably quite interesting because it is quite divided. It does have this sectarian split, and it also has a Kurdish minority. And one of the reasons that some said that you hadn't had protests earlier is there were worries among the population of Syria that you could actually get a repeat of the Iraq situation, some kind of sectarian war. So there's this there's a much more diversified demographic and religious split in Syria than you get in somewhere like Egypt or Libya. It has its own dynamics that could serve to cause problems down the line.
So it's Shiite, Sunni, Christian, Kurdish. Not all that different from Iraq, but people didn't really protest in Iraq either.
What recently, or because obviously we've had
some protests. In the past they did, and it was squelched by Saddam Hussein. Do you think it's likely this will just be squelched as well, things will return to somewhat normalcy?
At the moment, given that the situation hasn't yet spiraled out of control, it looks like, and that the security forces are pretty well organized in Syria, it looks like they should be able to contain it. But it's one to watch very closely. It's a very narrow, run regime. And it's difficult, given that it doesn't have vast amounts of oil, it's difficult for the government to offer many of the kind of financial inducements that we've seen in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere. So their means of patronage, or put more bluntly, their ability to bribe the people is limited. So they might have some problems down the line.
Thank you so much for talking with us. We'll keep an eye out. I'll keep an eye on Syria. Robert Powell is the Middle East analyst for the Economist Intelligence Unit.
Many thanks indeed.